This is a very special podcast episode. It's a flashback to my luxurious work vacation in Hawaii. I imagine doing a comedy set post Hula show and also talk about the reality of vacationing. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you have to wait in line for a long time for eggs. Did you hear about the interview that I lost when I used to podcast a long time ago? It was with Mackenzie Phillips, who slept with her dad. Yeah, I called her out of the blue, interviewed her in my closet, and lost it. Tune in to find out.
What's happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
I am here in Waikiki Beach, Hawaii, in a hotel room, crouched over a Yeti mic, and there is Cool in the Gang coming in through this mic, so I got myself set up to record remotely. I know. People say, oh, it's not that hard. You just press start and stop. Well, I had a podcast in the past, and I interviewed Mackenzie Phillips. Do you know who she is? She is the one that was on the original One Day at a Time in the 70s, and she wore high-waisted pants and had really thick, bouncy, feathered, that was the word I was looking for, feathered hair, and she was the sassy sister on One Day at a Time, the old sitcom. And she had a harrowing book that she wrote. Harrowing, not heroin, but also she talks about doing a bunch of drugs growing up and being very troubled, and her TV family being her family. And she has had a very famous musician dad who abused her, and she had a very strange, complicated, abusive relationship with her dad. Just read the book. It's not my story to tell. But anyway, I had this old podcast years ago that I never continued. I loved doing it, but it was me alone with the start and stop button. And I invited her over. She came. I just read her book. She was on Oprah, and I was very affected by it. And I invited her in the closet of my old house in Studio City, California. It did have a walk-in closet. It wasn't a huge house. It had sort of a strange square-shaped walk-in closet because I thought that would have the most sound insulation. And I talked to her there. I wasn't really prepared other than having read her book, and we had a great conversation, and she was great. And then I realized I hadn't recorded any of it. That's how I roll, guys. There's something about a certain type of person, a performer, a fool. I don't know. I don't know what I did. I think I got nervous and it was running, and then I started and stopped it a couple more times just to make sure. But while I was doing that, I stopped it more than I started it. Anyway, this is very exciting to see if I can pull this off. We are at a resort. We took a break from having a long walk. Yes, I'm in Waikiki Beach. I am here on a working vacation doing a guest spot on Hawaii Five-0. I think I got out of them the production that I'm allowed to say that I'm on it as long as I don't reveal the storyline. And so I'm doing a guest spot, and I had planned, my family and I, we planned a vacation on the 19th of August, and I got this job that was the week before. So I don't know if you believe in signs. A lot of times I don't. Sometimes I get really really wishy-washy about looking for signs, but then I forget. But then something like this happens, and we took it as our sign to take an extra long vacation in Waikiki. And one of the executive producers, actually there's two people that worked on 24 that have been on Hawaii Five-O, and actually a couple of people that work on the crew that ended up working on Hawaii Five-O after 24 went off the air. And Hawaii Five-O has been on the air for 9 seasons. Isn't that amazing? And I watched the show to, I hadn't watched it in a while, Hawaii Five-O, to brush up on it as I approached. I didn't have a lot of time. It happened pretty quickly within, I had a weekend to prepare, get the house taken care of. And my husband said, yeah, let's go. Let's make our vacation 3 weeks. Instead, we were at almost 2 weeks now. We're closer to 3 weeks. And it was just this amazing, random, magical thing. And I said, are you sure? You know, he said, yep, let's do it. So he got his work covered. We got the pets taken care of. We have a cockapoo and a savannah cat. The cat is named Dikembe Mutombo after the NBA basketball player. It's my husband's cat. The dogs are mine. One of ours has passed away, Ginger. The other one that's left is actually a little bit older than Ginger, but she's a smaller breed. She's a cockapoo, so she is going to live longer. She's about 13 right now. Ginger was 11. She was a French Briard. It's the best breed ever. I mean, I love my cockapoo. Don't get me wrong. The cockapoo is Emmy, so she's with the cat, and they are very dependent on us. The cat will open the door and walk out. We had to change it from the sort of bar latch handle into a traditional round door handle because he'll open the door and walk out, and if any of us leaves the house, he'll stand and meow really loud. It's a... You know, he acts like he doesn't care when he's around you. He'll come and sit really close, but just act like he's got a lot of other stuff going on. But then when you leave, he is not happy. So anyway, we have a person who stays there, and we made a makeshift cat screen before we left town so because he'll dart out of the front door. It's really problematic. And my husband Matthew, he said, you know, he's kind of chill now when he'll run out, and all three of us, if we're there, my husband and my son and I will run out and sort of corner him, and he usually darts along the side of the house and we have to grab him and bring him back in. And Matthew was saying, you know, I think he's kind of chill when we let him out. I think he just wants to chew the grass. So this last time he darted out, and I was talking on the phone, and my son was out there, and we had him cornered, but he was chill. And I said, oh, you know what? He wants to chew some grass. And then a second later, he darted up the cement wall, which was our neighbor's wall. Like, I want to say it's like 10 feet up. Okay. The wall's taller than me. So I want to say the wall's like 5.5, 6 feet. And he jumps up there and takes off into the neighbor's yard, and it's really hard to get over that wall and get him. Anyway, I just got really self-conscious that I was telling this story about my cat, but you guys have pets. You know what I'm talking about. I know this is super compelling stuff that I'm talking about. I'm at a resort. What can I tell you? It's amazing. So it's, you walk out and there's the resort pool, there's the towel station, there's the bar, multiple bars, surf lessons, parasailing. So it goes to the pool, and then there's a lagoon, and oh, that's next door, the resort next door. Ours is a sidewalk and then the beach, and the water is stunning and amazing, and it's crowded all day into the night. But I don't mind because it's so beautiful. I will say, though, we keep getting really tired. I mean, the sun tires you out, but I think as soon as we get out of those elevators, there's just so many people around, and then you also are having to buy everything. It's like, oh, can we sit down? Oh, it's, you know, you have to pay for the umbrellas, pay for water. You do get a towel. You do get a card and a towel. But it is lovely, and this is where the production put us up, and we just smile. I mean, it's hard to travel, and there are all those things about being together, which are really beautiful, but there are long stretches of time where you're having to get somewhere, and it's boring, or there's a wait for something, it's boring. But when we get in the ocean together, we are all smiling and floating, and there really is something magical about that. So I feel very lucky. And you know, this morning we've been in the sun for 4 days straight, all day, you know, 5 hours, come up, take a break, go down for a couple more hours. Last night we took this long walk. Where did we go? Were we going to eat or something? Oh, that's right. We went to this place called Cheeseburger in Paradise. It just made me laugh because the bartender, we were leaving, said, "Oh, what have you guys got planned?" And Matthew said, "Oh, we're just going to dinner." And we walked away, and I said, "Why didn't you tell him we're going to Cheeseburger in Paradise?" And he said, I just couldn't tell him. I couldn't do it. I didn't like the way he was asking me. You know, I don't know. So we, this morning, that's the other thing about when you're out and you're eating out and you're spending money, and it's the three of us. So this morning we went to walk to this breakfast place called Eggs and Things. And when we got there, there was a wait of 40 minutes, and they gave us the buzzer. So we're waiting, and sometimes it's hard because you're not at home, and you have these moments where you just really get on each other's nerves, and people get into moods and stuff. And my son was really bored, and you know, as parents, we're going, well, maybe we won't go on a trip next time, and telling him he can't have the iPhone. And you know, he doesn't know that sometimes we didn't know either. We didn't know there was going to be a wait, and you know, we're more hungry than we thought we were, and we're sitting outside, and I'm saying, oh, it won't be that long of a wait. And then of course it really was that long of a wait, and we finally get to our table, and we've gotten into three or four arguments just about what are we going to do. This guy is you know, being bad and being rude, and we're starting to feel bad because he's feeling bad and complaining. And we sit down to eat, and my son says, I'm self-conscious because they're in the other room. They're out on the balcony. We have a large room. It's super nice. I mean, it's not the Four Seasons. This is a very nice resort, but it's one of those things where it's sort of not 70s. It's maybe an amalgamation of 80s, some 90s. It's a very nice room, but it's also a little bit, you know, it's not up to the moment spectacular. It is large. Anyway, you know, my son, oh, I'm bored, and he's hanging on us, and he's being annoying. And then we finally get up there, and he gets the French toast, and I got the fried eggs. You know, sometimes when you get something really simple and it's done really well, and you're like, dang, those are some good ass eggs. And my son said, this French toast is so good. The wait was so worth it. And something I said when we were waiting, I was kind of having an adult conversation, and he heard it. I was saying to Matthew, I'm like, well, you know, he doesn't have the skills to deal with things that are, I don't know, or maybe I said that directly to my son. You don't have the skills to cope with things like this when life throws you something where you have to wait. Meanwhile, there's another family that has two kids, and they're playing Uno together. And so I admitted, and I said, and also we're bad parents. We don't have games ready to keep you occupied. We tried to play I Spy, and I got bored really quickly. We ended up on 20 questions, which kept us going for a while. But so he finally eats his breakfast, and he said, this is really good. That was worth the wait. And I said, son, now you have some skills. You just gained a coping mechanism of knowing that sometimes you have to wait around and it's worth it. And then we walked to the aquarium. We were trying to keep ourselves out of the sun, but we ended up walking outside. I want to say it's like, I want to say it was like 2 miles each way, but there were these great big banyan trees, and we walked through the sort of high-end part of Waikiki, where all the stores are, but then also part of it, a lot of it was along the ocean, to this aquarium that's been there for 110 years. That's what I'm talking about. I saw a red-toothed huffer jack fish. I don't remember any of the names of any of the things I just looked at. Some starfish. I finally saw, this is really dumb, I saw the starfish upside down hanging around a leaf that was bent in the water, and it completely mimicked, and that should have been obvious to me, that's the shape of a starfish, is to mimic the shape of the leaf. That was exciting. There's something called a razor fish, which is just like this stick, and it's a fish, but his nose is pointed down, and they just can propel themselves down, up and down, like pogo sticks, very thin, with little translucent, tiny little fins like that spin like hummingbirds on the side to keep the razor fish. There's an eel. Your jellyfish. It was very exciting, but we had a very long walk in the hot sun, and this is the next life lesson. You know, Matthew's saying, push through it. You gotta have mental strength. And I told my son, you know, you get in the NBA. You're getting better now by physically pushing yourself through and becoming mentally strong. And I said, you know how your father and I become mentally strong? By having you and being married to each other. That's how we have developed our mental toughness. That is true. So Eggs and Things, Waikiki, was fun. We also saw this show last night of the local traditional. There were older women that danced the hula and told stories of Pele, the goddess of the volcano, of the explosiveness and the wind and the fury and the passion of the volcano. And they sang a song about the moon, and it was about two people being romantic with each other. And there's something so elemental. I actually was moved a little bit by it because it was total tourist. You know, if you were walking by, it was this outdoor stage and people were gathered and kind of half paying attention, and the little kids were hula dancing, and there was a young guy who was his first time kid playing ukulele and singing, and I was just moved by it. Started with me being really annoyed at how boring, like, oh God, singing a song about the moon. But I very quickly realized that I'm so used to, oh, I think it was, thinking about it, about doing comedy. Oh, I'm just going to go up there and do a quick five. And it's the idea of that is hilarious, because it would be such a disaster if I went up and did my comedy. You know, there's a chunk of my comedy where I'm, I wouldn't say complaining about my marriage. I would say, what's the word? Heightening the pain of marriage and of miscommunication as a way of sometimes being really dark about it. But I want people in the audience to identify with it and see themselves in that, and recognize that everybody has issues communicating with each other, and it's something we should work towards. But I do that by way of, I wouldn't say being mean in my comedy, but being a little visceral about what pains me. What pains me in the relationship, and heightening it, and therefore making fun of it because it becomes ridiculous. It's the type of thing that would be awful in a outdoor after someone dances the hula dance and there's a sunset, and after a little kid plays the ukulele and they're talking about bringing families together, and I would just go up there and be dark and sarcastic and unearthing the things that pain me in my personal life so that other people can see themselves in that and laugh at it. And that would not be the place to do it. And then it made me appreciate what they were talking about, which is this ancient way of life in Hawaii. And there is something so beautiful. That's why people are drawn to this place. That's why people are drawn to nature, because it is soothing to us. And the fact that there's this whole culture of people that lived by that and embraced it, and that the movements of the hula dance are so slow, and like they're like wind and it, like water. And I just felt so herky-jerky in my own body, so bottled up and controlled and up in my head. It also made me think of female comics, myself included. Sometimes, I mean, male comics do this too, but I was thinking of the differences in genders, and depicted in this ancient culture was, it wasn't making the women less strong, but, you know, they're the ones that are swaying their hips. Even though they said everybody dances the hula, but, you know, it's the way the women dress with flowers in their hair and dresses and the smiles on their faces and this very gentle, very feminine way of moving. And I was thinking of some of the things that I've said on stage, which I will continue to say, that are dirty or crass. And I'm not on the scale of being dirty and crass, I am not really in comedy, but I have been, and I'm sure I will be again. But it just struck me in that moment as being so harsh, you know, because it's some of that comedy. There is a shock value to it of, oh, can you believe I'm saying this? For guys, but especially for women too, you know, it can be even more shocking when women, I don't know, maybe that's a whole other podcast in itself. But my husband and I were talking about trying to imagine what this island's going to be like in 100 years, 500 years from now. Are there even going to be still actual Hawaiians left? It's kind of a sad thought. The lady who did my hair, she was asking me about comedy, and I should look this guy up, but I forgot to look him up, but she's friends with one of the guys in the 70s. She said he was the first comedian in Hawaii, and she was telling me about being in this vocation as a hairdresser, that she started as a salon hairdresser and she got into show business, and she's been doing it for years and years, and spoke of her friend who's the comedian who she's known for that long. And we were talking and we got into some of the politics here, and she's really fighting to make sure that heritage, Hawaiian heritage, stays intact, and the balance between embracing things from the U.S., like governmental things. She said, I'm proud to be an American, but it's, you know, it's finding the things that work for us that are mandated by the American government, locally and federally, you know, and finding those things that still retain what we are as a people and being strong in that. She kind of got into some of the politics here, and it was very interesting because, you know, you gotta wonder at all the changes that have happened here. Because there was also a driver that talked about, guy that drove me to set, he's lived here for 45 years. By the way, I sat outside waiting for this van that was right in front of me because I was waiting for him to come out and tell me that he was my ride to work, and he just sat there. And then when I got in, I said, I've been sitting here for a half hour. He said, me too. And then we drove in silence for almost an hour, and I finally said, are you from here? And he said, yeah, 45 years. You know, it's got its problems. What are you going to do? You know, they ruined it already. They ruined it. They keep building and building. Plumbing is 60 years old, and they never kept it up. We got Chinese, Japanese, Korean. They keep throwing money into this place. They're throwing money into this place, building up. They don't bother to redo there. It's falling apart. It's falling apart. What are you going to do? Can't go anywhere else now. And he told me all the jobs that he's driven on. I talked to another lady who, because these roads are dark at night on the island, and she said when they get new drivers, they don't know where they're going. And she said she knows the island so well. And some of these people have been working on these productions here for years. And now there was a Netflix show, I forgot what it's called, Triple Frontier or something, that was filmed in Hawaii. Lost, Magnum PI is here right now. I'm sure there's tons of other stuff. But, you know, it feels like there's always at least one or two productions going on here. And there's a whole network of people that are employed by them. Even at our bar, there's a drink special, a Hawaii 5-0 drink special. So it's very exciting. And also, I think the new version, and it's not a new thing to talk about, it's been on 9 seasons, but it's new for me to be on it. I'm paying special attention to it. But I love the opening credits because they use the original song, but they do it all modern, and it's so exciting. It's such a great theme song. Go watch it. I think they do an amazing job, and I'm excited to be here. And that is my podcast from Hawaii. Thanks for being here. Talk to you soon. Bye.